The following program is recorded content created by the Truth Network.
Are we going to learn our lesson about the failed Trump prophecies of 2020? Or are we going to repeat the same errors again today?
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, biblical scholar and cultural commentator, Dr. Michael Brown. Your voice for moral sanity and spiritual clarity. Call 866-34-TRUTH to get on The Line of Fire. And now, here's your host, Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome, friends, to the Line of Fire broadcast. Michael Brown, delighted to spend this time with you, coming from our great studio at Christ for the Nations in Dallas, Texas. I had a wonderful time ministering to the amazing student body here from nations all around the world. And here now with you, yet to infuse you with faith, truth, and courage to help you stand strong on the front lines. Friends, it's a battle. The world is going crazy around us every day, but Jesus is Lord, the word is true, and we move forward. We're not in the retreat mode, we're not in the running scared mode, we are in the overcomer's mode by the grace of God. Jesus has risen from the dead, and we rise in him. So we're going to talk about some pretty intense issues today, but as always, we will not get your blood boiling unless we also get your faith rising. And the goal is that you will get infused with faith and truth and courage. All right, if you're not getting my frontline newsletter, we are preparing the February newsletter, which is going to bless you, stir you. An article, I believe, is going to give you tremendous insights, some amazing testimonies, Hebrew word study of the month. So go to the website right now, thelineoffire.org. If you're not getting our emails, sign up today, thelineoffire.org. If you'd like to weigh in on today's topic, we're going to first talk about the failed Trump prophecies and have we learned our lessons. This is not a broadcast about who you should vote for. This is not a broadcast for or against Donald Trump. So you may get all riled up. Why aren't you supporting him? Why are you supporting him? I'm doing neither here. I'm talking about failed prophecies and what we must learn from them moving forward. Because as much as things are different now in 2024, they're eerily the same as in 2020, with the real prospect that the candidates will be Biden and Trump again going forward later this year. Are we going to learn from the mistakes? I'm speaking in particular to my charismatic brothers and sisters. Are we going to learn from the mistakes? I have some serious doubt about that. I have some serious concern based on ongoing deception that I see unfolding in front of our eyes. So we're going to talk about that. 866-34-TRUTH. You can weigh in. And time permitting, some other very intense subjects of things happening in our culture, in our society today that affect your families, that affect your kids. We'll get to that as well a little later in the broadcast. Okay. For those that might not be aware of what happened, I want to give you a bit of history. Before the 2016 election, there were a few people, not many, but a few people known for prophetic ministry in charismatic circles that said that God showed them that Donald Trump was going to be the next president or pointed in that direction. They got a lot of pushback for that. A lot of people thought they were crazy for saying that. Some of them issued statements saying, look, I know nothing about Trump, but the little that I know is I don't like at all. It's like, I don't like the man. I just feel God showed me this. Well, it got my attention, and I wondered, could there be something to it? And some said, look, he's not a godly man. He's not being raised up as a godly man, and we need to pray for him, but we believe he's going to be president. Well, you can take or leave those prophetic words. It did get my attention. You know, one said that he would appoint three Supreme Court justices. And this is when it was so unlikely that he was going to be the president. If you can remember back, the idea of Trump winning the primaries, Republican primaries, when there were so many strong candidates, it just seemed impossible back then. In any case, he was president in 2016. Do what you want with the prophecies that happened. Well, it seemed like now this was the bandwagon to get on. And come the 2020 elections, every major prophetic voice that was speaking out said Trump will be reelected. Some said Trump will have 8 consecutive years in the White House. But it was very clear he was going to be our next president. Now, what's interesting is that some of the most prominent prophetic networks in charismatic circles, one with maybe 60 or 70 prophetic leaders, mainly in the States, another with maybe 3 or 4,000 prophetically oriented people around the world, they never said Trump was going to be elected. These networks never proclaimed it. One man that's been kind of a father to the prophetic movement, he told me directly, we did a Zoom call with a few people together, he said that out of their 4,000 or so people, there's maybe one or two that claimed Trump was going to be elected. They never felt that, even though they voted for Trump, they liked Trump, they preferred him. They never felt God was saying that, nor did they believe it was right to give political prophecies. Another prophetic network said a couple of people said they believed Trump was going to be elected. We didn't feel it as a network, so we never issued a statement. Okay, so unfortunately, the loudest voices, the voices that were most publicized, the voices that got the most TV time and the most internet coverage said Trump's going to be elected. And some were very emphatic. I'm not saying this to throw stones at those who repented and said, I blew it and I was wrong. And we'll come back to the idea of can prophecy today, New Testament prophecy, can it be wrong, etc. We'll come back to that subject in a moment, all right? But I'm not throwing stones at those who repented, who said, I blew it, I was wrong, forgive me, I spoke out of turn, I got caught up in a political spirit, or I just repeated what I heard others saying, you know, because I wanted to be part of the crowd. I'm not throwing stones at those. And I'm not technically stoning those that were wrong, but I am, once again, calling out that there were prominent voices on national TV platforms, international TV platforms, major internet platforms who clearly said, guaranteed it, that Trump would be president. Some of them were explicit. He will have 8 consecutive years in the White House. Some were explicit. Joe Biden will never sit one day in the White House. Before the inauguration, things will turn. And when I began to come out publicly after January 6th, well, on the day of January 6th, I began to come out publicly and say, it's not going to happen. I voted for Trump in 2016 and 2020, if you remember. I voted for him. And when the election, you know, I went to sleep that Tuesday night election night thinking, wow, prophets were right. It's going to happen. Trump's in again. Woke up in the morning to find out he wasn't. And then all the claims, election stolen, all this. Let's put all claims about election stealing aside. Whether you believe it or not, I'm not discussing that right now. I'm not discussing that. I'm talking about prophetic words. And then these prophets kept saying, it's going to happen, it's going to happen, it's going to happen. You watch. The courts are overturned. I remember watching prophecies from Hank Hooneman specifically, where he, that day, when it was unfolding, I got on the radio and said, look, it's not going to happen. He is not going to sit in the White House. Well, I got slammed for it. And by the way, this is not poor me. Oh, I was all right and everybody was wrong. No, I've made my share of mistakes like we all have. Every one of us lived long enough, we made our share of mistakes. I'm not coming around as, I was the guy that got it all right, the self-righteous. No, no, no. I'm simply giving a chronology here. I lost thousands of people, not close friends or supporters, but, you know, just on social media, thousands dropping out and attacking me. They're like Joshua and Caleb because they're believing and they're going to hold on. I'm like the 10 spies that came with a bad report. It's my unbelief that's hurting things, all this kind of nonsense. I just felt bad for people because I'm here to minister to you. In other words, I have an assignment to help you and bless you and strengthen you. That's my assignment. That's why I'm here. That's why I'm on the radio. That's why I write. That's why I preach. That's why I teach. I have an assignment. You reach the lost, reach my Jewish people, yes, but serve you, help you. And if I can't serve you and help you, I feel bad for that. Not for me, but because I want to be a blessing in your life. You know, years ago, when I got into a dispute with Pastor John MacArthur, whom I respect and honor, but had differences with about the charismatic movement today, he wrote Strange Fire, I wrote Authentic Fire. His close followers wrote to me and said, Dr. Brown, I loved your book, A Queer Thing Happened to America. I love your five volumes on answering Jewish objections to Jesus. I love the other materials you put out, but I can't use them anymore because you're different with my pastor. It's like, hey, you can hate what I read about the other things, but I've got good resources that can help you. So that was my issue. That was my concern. I want to be a blessing to you. I want to help you. I want to serve you. And people were cutting me off. That's why it burdened me, right? And I was burdened for the name of Jesus because I knew his name was being mocked. I knew these things were not going to unfold. And people said to me, it's too soon. Don't talk about it now. Wait till after Inauguration Day. I thought, okay. I wait till after Inauguration Day. No, 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 no. You don't know it's coming. I'm telling you it's coming. He's about to be removed. Here's the new prophecy. He's about to be removed. It's coming. It's coming in March or in April. Okay, I wait till March or April. It didn't happen. Well, how can you talk about it now? Because it's going to happen by August. This is what I lived through. I lived through the entire year. And then at the end of the year, okay, can I talk about it? Well, why are you bringing up old stuff? I thought, this is remarkable. Calling for accountability, calling for maturity, calling for people to honor the Lord, honor the name of Jesus, honor the word of God, honor the spirit, honor the body, and do the right thing and say, we blew it, we were wrong, we repent, we're going to do some deep soul searching, we're going to get more accountability in our lives, we're going to see why we were wrong, why we were in error, just doing what's healthy for the body. No, first, don't talk about it because it could still happen. Okay, then when it didn't happen, don't bring it up now, it's too raw. Then when I do bring it up, no, it's still going to happen, you watch. Biden's going to be removed. I'm telling you, there's a big military thing. It's about to happen. There's a coup. Biden's about to be removed. Trump's going to be reinstated. And then the worst of all, well, Trump is president. See, he's sitting as president. He's actually calling the shots, and Biden's not doing anything. Or it's a shapeshifter. It's not really Biden. It's an actor. It's someone who looks like it. Man, I've heard other people say it. Crazy stuff. And crowds clapping. I mean, as late as last year, I heard that. I mentioned Hank Kuhneman's name earlier. Tried to reach out to him privately a couple of different ways. Wouldn't hear. Published public statements. Used him as an example only because he's saying similar things again now. And now, like, you know, as if they're the persecuted ones. Or Kat Kerr just with wild, crazy, bizarre stuff. I can't imagine any person who knows Jesus would say some of the crazy stuff she said. Just utterly bizarre. And thankfully, Mario Murillo began to call some of this stuff out by name. I wish he had expanded some of the call and some of the names. But some of these people tried to reach privately. Others just with their wacky prophecies. There's the natural president and there's the spiritual president. Trump's the spiritual one. Johnny Enlow saying that Trump is you know, sitting in heaven with a golden scepter and he's the real president. Nonsense like this. Nonsense. You know, Hank Kuhneman saying that, you know, look, it's not really Biden in office and it doesn't matter who's sitting in the White House because that's not the real president. And crowds chanting, you know, or clapping. And now here comes 2024 and we could have a repeat that's even uglier. And I'm not talking about whether you vote for Trump or not. Let me say that again. I'm not talking about whether he's your preferred candidate or not. That's not my issue. I'm talking about, we better stop listening to these loony prophecies. And for those that were wrong in 2020, until they humble themselves and repent and seek proper
care. Let's hear what Trivita customers are saying.
Dr. Brown, I can't wait to tell you that those supplements are absolutely amazing. My strength has gone up at least 15 pounds in everything I do. I mean, I can curl, like I'll usually do curls with arms. You know, I'll do 40 to 45. I was doing 60 pound curls 10 times in each arm. And then yesterday, I did a back workout and I was doing weight that I haven't done since my 20s. And I usually ride my bike to the gym. It's about a 10, 12 minute bike ride. And then on the way back, after I've done my weight training, you know, I ride back, but I'm huffing and puffing. And I rode my bike there and back, and I had so much energy. I'm telling you, the combination of the nitric oxide with the MyoHealth is just amazing. I can't believe how much strength I have right now. I mean, I'm just really excited about it.
Trivita wants you to experience wellness too. Do something good for your heart and cardiovascular system. Learn how to get 25% off Nitric Oxide Plus Call 800-811-9628 or go to trivita.com. Use promo code BROWN25 in the shopping cart to receive 25% off your first order, and Trivita will give a substantial portion of your order to help support the Line of Fire radio broadcast. Call 800-811-9628 or go to trivita.com. Use promo code BROWN25 in the shopping cart. Get 25% off Nitric Oxide Plus. Call 800-811-9628. 800-811-9628.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get on the Line of Fire by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks, friends, for joining us on the Line of Fire. 866-348-7884 is the number to call. I will take your calls on this in a moment. I continue to be grieved about the level of deception that some of us can live in the charismatic movement. It grieves me, it breaks my heart that we could rationalize the way that we do. Rather than say, okay, something's wrong. Something's wrong. Some of you will remember when I wrote about this, saying, look, either we got it right or we got it wrong. This is after the elections, and prophetic brothers and sisters were still saying, you watch and see, you watch and see. Biden's not going to be inaugurated. He's not going to sit a day in the White House. Trump's going to be in. And I said, look, if you're holding on to truth against all odds, so be it. God bless you. You're courageous. Man, I applaud you. But if you're wrong, we're not going to throw you under the bus, but just say, okay, I was wrong. I blew it. And humble yourself, and let's find out why, and let's get this thing fixed. And I said, but please, please, whatever you do, don't do this. And I gave this illustration. You've heard me give it before. Church where I came to faith, the pastor told a story. I don't know if it was a made-up story or a true illustration, but the point gets across either way, that there was a prophetic brother, and in the days when I came to faith, prophetic words were very rare. Someone speaking a prophetic word over you was very rare. But there was a prophetic brother in ministering, and he is a woman in the front of the church, and he had a word for her. Sister, I see the Lord calling you as a missionary, and I see the Lord is saying that he is sending you to China. And then there was a man in the back of the building, and he said, sir, I see the Lord is calling you as a missionary. And the Lord is calling you to India. Well, it turned out it was the husband and wife. And they just happened to be separated in the building. And this prophetic brother didn't know it. Well, they both get in the car afterwards. And they're all excited. And the wife says, honey, the man of God had a word for me. And he says, honey, he had a word for me too. And she said, he said, we're going to be missionaries. And the husband said, yes. He said, we're going to be missionaries. And she said, we're going to China. He said, No, we're going to India. And she said, no, the man of God said we're going to be missionaries to China. And he said, no, the man of God said we're going to be missionaries to India. He said, well, let's go in and talk to him. So the guy's still in the building, and they said, sir, you had a word over my wife that she's a missionary called to India. You had a word over me that I'm a missionary. She's called to China. You had a word over me that I'm a missionary called to India. There seems to be a discrepancy. And he said, oh, no, the Lord is calling you to Indochina. And I said, please, whatever you do, don't come up with words like that. Well, Trump is the spiritual president. Were there really two presidents? Please don't do it. You say, no, but you don't understand, Dr. Brown. He did win the election. That's what was prophesied. All right, I want to revisit this one more time. Number one, we were not concerned with the abstract question of who wins more votes, right? Only to have them allegedly stolen. Whether stolen or not, another question. To have them stolen, so he's not in the White House. The only thing we knew when people said he's going to win the election is he's going to be the next president sitting in the White House. That's all we knew, and that's what those prophets were saying. And if you ask those prophets, are you telling me that he's going to be elected but won't sit in the White House? He's being elected, but he won't actually serve as president. They wouldn't have said, oh, yeah, that's what I'm praying, because none of them had any idea about that, which raises the question, if God was really showing them that Trump was going to be elected, then why didn't God show them that the election would be stolen? Because that's what really mattered. And my simple analogy is this. You're praying for a car because you have no car. And the Lord gives me a word. I don't know you from Adam. And I said, the Lord told me he's going to deliver a car to your house tomorrow as a gift to you. And sure enough, some wealthy businessman, God speaks to his heart to give you a car. But unfortunately, on the way over to your house, it gets carjacked and stolen and you never see it. Well, how did that prophecy benefit you if you didn't end up with a car? So enough with this story of, well, he did win, but it was stolen. Whether it was stolen or not, it's not the issue here, all right? You say, but if he's in 2024, won't they confirm the prophecies? No, because they're explicit. He will serve 8 straight years. He will have his 2nd consecutive term. Biden will never be president. Trump will be inaugurated January 24th, whatever the date was, 21st. Those are explicit words. They did not happen. This state will turn. This state will turn. The courts will overturn that. It did not happen. And it makes a mockery of the things of the Spirit. It makes a mockery of true prophetic ministry. And the sad thing for all my non-charismatic brothers and sisters who say the whole thing's wacky because there is no prophecy today, the sad thing is that you get tarred and feathered too, because you're looked at as part of the larger evangelical church with the crazy Trump prophecies and stuff. And you get tarred and feathered too. And you look bad, even though you don't even believe in prophecy. This is grievous. And what about people who've lost their faith? What about people who wonder if God is even real because they were so sure this was all true? What if their favorite TV prophet got it wrong and now they're shattered? Shouldn't that concern us? Shouldn't that deeply concern us and burden us? All right, let me grab a couple of calls here. We go over to William in Canton, Georgia. Thanks for calling the Line of Fire. What's on your
mind? Thank you. God bless you for your wonderful work. Hey, can you hear me? Hello?
Yes, I can.
Okay. Hey, I believe the reason why so many of the pastors and the evangelical public in general accepted these false prophecies is because so many of them, except a few pastors who go to the seminary and do serious historical research, have no conception of the church other than it ends at Acts and then takes up again with Luther and the Reformation, etc. And they lose the whole Catholic period as irrelevant. And yet it's in that period that the Catholic Church learned to discern that there are certain mass false prophecies, like the Montanism of the 2nd and 3rd century. Very good people believed false prophecies. And this has happened repeatedly in church history. And if you don't know the church history, then people start saying, well, so many of the prophets are saying this, et cetera, and it has to be true. And you have no idea that mass prophecy can be false. So that was one thing. And the other thing is that the traditional teaching in discernment on prophecy is you have to be especially careful of prophecies that line up with what you want. Because then that your subconscious can confuse what you want with the still small voice of God. And that's happened, and they have no historical understanding of this. Now, I'm not a Catholic. I'm an Anglican priest. So I love the evangelical tradition, and I love some of the Catholic tradition. Not all. There's a lot of mistakes there. But at least the Catholics had it right. Beware of mass prophecies. May I mention that I wrote a book about some of this, or I don't want to review you. May I mention a book that deals with this? It's called American Danger Left and Right, and I study the false prophecies of this. Okay? Thank you.
Right. Hey, yes, William, thank you for the call. I appreciate it. So a couple of things. It is good to learn from church history, right? It's very good to learn what we can and see where errors have been made on all sides in the past and learn from it and not repeat it. And with quote, hearing the voice of God in general, right? We have to be careful when it really lines up with what we want. Well, the Lord told me I'm going to marry you. Why? Because you're really attracted to the person and you want to hear God say that. We've got to be very careful with those kind of things. You know, some years back, we lived in Maryland, so this is late 80s, early 90s. No, actually, it was probably around 93, something like that. I was really praying to hear God's voice, get clarity about whether we were to move back to New York, and I was to work with a key church there and start a school there. So I told Nancy that God laid it on my heart to do a five-day water fast. Well, anyway, make a long story short, before I even started the fast, I knew it wasn't the will of God that we move back to New York then. And then the fast was really, really difficult. I had a friend fasting with me. He dropped out. And after 3 days, I convinced Nancy it was okay to break the fast and we should go have dinner together. It was just a miserably difficult five-day fast, water fast. And she said, "Didn't God tell you you're supposed to fast 5 days?" I said, No. I wanted to fast 5 days, and God confirmed to me to do it. She said, "Honey, the next time you fast, write down on paper before you fast what God said, because it seems to change during the fast. Careful, 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 lest we create a word that is in harmony with what we desire." We'll be right back. Hey friends, Michael Brown here. My delight to serve as your voice for moral sanity and spiritual clarity. We are living in such urgent times today, friends, that all of us are in the line of fire. There's a target on your back. There's a target on my back. If you simply seek to live by biblical values or just conservative moral values, you could be canceled. You could be cast out. You could be put down. You could be silenced. I'm here to say, friends, that I am not about to be silenced, and I don't believe you are either. It is time for us to stand up. It is time for us to say enough is enough. It is time for us to push back in Jesus' name. Not fighting the way the world fights. No, overcoming evil with good, overcoming hatred with love, overcoming the flesh with the power of the Spirit, overcoming lies with truth. And that's what we're here to do on the Line of Fire broadcast. And friends, it's not just a broadcast. It is a movement of people around the world. God's people standing up saying enough is enough and saying, "Lord, here we are. Send us, use us." I want to urge you today to join our support team because we are on the front lines together. And we are literally touching people around the world, in America, in the nations, in Israel. And together with your help, we're going to amplify this voice and spread this movement around the globe. So I encourage you, go right now to thelineoffire.org, thelineoffire.org. Click donate, monthly support. Thelineoffire.org, click donate, monthly support. When you do, you become a torchbearer. We immediately send you two great life-changing books. We immediately give you access to many classes I've taught. Others have to pay to take those. You get them for free. Exclusive video audio content, a new audio message every month, an insider prayer newsletter, 15% discount on our online bookstore, so much more. Join our support team today. Go to thelineoffire.org. Donate monthly.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get on The Line of Fire by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome back, friends, to The Line of Fire. Can I just talk to you from my heart for a moment? 866-34-TRUTH. The reason that we raise funds for The Line of Fire is simply to reach more people. My salary is paid, our staff salary is paid. If God sent millions of dollars through our ministry, it would go right back out. It would go right back out to support our missionaries around the world. It would go right back out to Jewish outreach. It would go right back out to cultural reformation. It would go right back out to expanding to get us on many, many more networks around the nation and to develop more resources. That's where it would go. We are all about ministry. We are all about reaching more people. If you value this message, if you know the importance of this message, if you want to help amplify it to the nation, if you want to help hasten the work and intensify the work by further sparking revival in the church and gospel-based moral and cultural reformation in the society and helping to bring about the redemption of Israel, then stand with us. Join with our support team. Go to thelineoffire.org. Click on donate, monthly support. Join our team today, and together We are making a difference. 866-34-TRUTH. Let's go over to George in Jacksonville, Florida. Welcome to the Line of Fire.
Hey, thanks for having me, Dr. Brown. It's been a minute, as they say, since we last talked. So thanks for having me back, or just talk to you just for a second. I've been reading your book about Job. Great. It's a kind of a heavy lift for me to read, but one of these days I'll call you up maybe on a Friday and kind of give you my impression of what I think about what you wrote in Job, and you can tell me whether I'm right or wrong about it or whatever. But to the point of what we're talking about today, I think that as Christians, I'm not a cessationist by any stretch of the imagination. It's just when I see spiritual gifts as it applies, like here in the American church, I get really skeptical. And one of the ones that out of the Trump prophecies milieu that we saw was Paula White. And, you know, whenever millions of people get behind someone like that and listen to her and believe in what she says, considering her background, she probably does. She, in my opinion, she has no
tell you what. Yeah, I don't want to get into that discussion here. Okay. In terms of her own life or what happened, or divorces or reasons for it, etc. Let me say this though, okay? And here, let me read a couple of scriptures, all right? A couple of scriptures that are relevant. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Now, you know the mess that was in Corinth, right? All the issues Paul had to deal with. Divisions in the body, he had to deal with that. Carnality, because of it. He had to deal with a man who was sleeping with his father's wife. So not his mother, but his father's wife. He had to deal with disputes in the church, going to the secular courts rather than being worked out among the believers. He had to deal with them eating food sacrificed to idols, but in a way that defiled the consciences of others. He had to deal with the abuse of spiritual gifts. He had to deal with the abuse of the Lord's Supper to the point that many were sick and some had died. He had to deal with error about their views of the resurrection of the dead. That's a mess. That's a mess. But he also recognized God working among them. Look at what he says. 1 Corinthians 1:4. I always thank my God for you because of his grace given you in Christ Jesus. For in him you have been enriched in every way with all kinds of speech and with all knowledge. God thus confirming our testimony about Christ among you. Therefore, you do not lack any spiritual gift as you eagerly wait for our Lord Jesus Christ to be revealed. So he is commending them for not lacking any spiritual gift. That's extraordinary. Then 1 Corinthians 14, after explaining the way of love in the 13th chapter, 1 Corinthians 14:1, he says, follow the way of love and eagerly desire spiritual gifts or gifts of the Spirit, especially prophecy. So he encourages that. Follow the way of love and eagerly desire spiritual gifts of the Spirit, especially prophecy. Now, I want to skip down to the end of the chapter, and he says this. Verse 29, two or three prophets should speak, and the others should weigh carefully or judge carefully what is said. And if a revelation comes to someone who's sitting down, the first speaker should stop. For you can all prophesy in turn so that everyone may be instructed and encouraged. The spirits of prophets are subject to the control of prophets. For God is not a God of disorder, but of peace, as in all the congregations of the Lord's people. And then here's how he ends the chapter, all right? 1 Corinthians 14:39 and 40. Therefore, my brothers and sisters, be eager to prophesy. And do not forbid speaking in tongues, but everything should be done in a fitting and orderly way. So I'm a Bible believer. Yeah, I've got a certain amount of education and doctorate in Semitic languages and all this, but like any of you, I'm simply a Bible believer. I'm trying to understand, God, what are you saying so I can honor it, follow it, glorify you, have your word in my heart and my mind, and make your word of truth known to a dying world, right? So I'm just simply believing the Bible. So the word of God tells me to eagerly desire spiritual gifts. That's a command. eagerly desire spiritual gifts, especially prophecy. So all of us as followers of Jesus should eagerly desire spiritual gifts, especially prophecy. Especially as Paul's just made it clear in the previous chapter that these gifts will be here, just like knowledge will be here, until Jesus returns, at which point we see him face to face. And there's no more controversy and no more concern about what to believe, because we'll know even as we're fully known, Paul writes. The very fact we have debates and disputes means we have not gotten to the point of the second coming yet. So until the Lord returns and sets up his kingdom on the earth, we're going to have imperfect knowledge. We're going to have imperfect prophecy. That's why everything must be tested. Everything must be tested. That's why two or three prophets speak and the others weigh carefully what's being said, because anyone can potentially prophesy. So let's go over to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. And here Paul writes, again, a familiar exhortation, beginning in verse 19. Do not quench the Spirit. Do not put out the Spirit's fire. Do not quench the Spirit. Do not treat prophecies with contempt, but test them all. Hold on to what is good. Reject every kind of evil. That's the exhortation. So first, don't put out the Spirit's fire. And don't treat prophecies with contempt. Why? Because maybe sometimes they'll seem contemptuous. Maybe sometimes there'll be some weird things about the people. Maybe just the prophecies themselves can seem odd. Don't treat prophecies with contempt. Rather, test everything. Test them all. Hold fast to that which is good. So you may understand prophecy to see it as the same as the Old Testament, where the prophets had to have a certain infallibility about them. Remember, your average Old Testament believer did not have the Bible or access to the books that were part of the Bible at that time. They were not indwelt by the Holy Spirit the way we are. So if a prophet said something, their only way to really test was, okay, from what I know of the law of Moses, does it contradict that? Does it tell us to worship other gods? Otherwise, you just judge, does it come to pass or not? And if it comes to pass and says follow the gods, then it's just a test, don't follow it. But if it comes to pass and says follow the true God, then you believe it's a true prophecy. And in many cases, these were prophets leading the nation. So the fate of the nation depended on them hearing God and obeying God and doing what was right through the prophets. And if what they say doesn't come to pass, then don't listen to them. Don't listen to them. There was even a death penalty for those who spoke presumptuously, which is not just making an innocent mistake. You know, you're presumptuously means you're saying, go follow other gods, or just speaking out of your own heart and mind. And you have whole passages like Jeremiah 23, beginning verse 9, and Ezekiel 13, and other passages in the Old Testament where the false prophets were severely rebuked for misleading the nation. And they led them into adultery. They led them into morality. They led them into idolatry. They confirmed the people in their sins, and they put a wet blanket on the hot fires of repentance. As the true prophets were preaching repentance, they stifled it. Now, many of you say, well, it's the same today. And if someone says the Lord gave this word, then if it's wrong, they're metaphorically stoned. You don't kill them, but you excommunicate them, or you exclude them, or you brand them false prophets. Now, I understand where that viewpoint's coming from, and I respect it. In other words, these are people who take the gift of prophecy very seriously, and they say it's just like the Old Testament. And you charismatics who say there's room for error, that you're dishonoring the Spirit. I understand that, and I respect that view. It's not my own view, but I respect it. These passages that I just read in terms of testing everything and judging everything indicate to me that in the New Testament, we're in a different era. All of us are indwelt by the Holy Spirit and therefore can discern based on that, right? 1 John 2, the anointing dwells in you, and you don't need anyone to teach you in terms of just the basic who God is and how to follow him. The anointing's in us. And then we have access to the Word of God, so we can test by the full revelation of Scripture, test by the Holy Spirit living within us. But because anyone can potentially prophesy, Paul says, I wish all of you would prophesy. Acts 2, the outpouring of the Spirit in the last days is on all flesh, and your sons and daughters will prophesy. So because anyone can potentially prophesy, that it's possible that people speak and there's a mixture, in which case it has to be discerned. That's why you test it. That's why you test words and say, we believe God is speaking, but there's some error mixed in with that. Or we hear what these two or three are saying. Now discern together what God's saying through it. Now, you may reject that view. I respect you for rejecting it. But that's why charismatics will test it. So someone may speak a word to me. I don't get a lot of people prophesying over me. But someone may speak a word to me, and I know it's God. I know it the moment they speak it. Why? Because it confirms exactly what I've been praying about and what I've sensed God telling me. So it's amazing confirmation. Sometimes you weep in amazement at God's love and confirmation. Sometimes I know, okay, you just nailed two things in my life that nobody else knew about, that I was praying about. You got that right. But thing number three, it sounds really odd to me, but maybe there's something to it. And I put it on the shelf and wait, and sure enough, it's real. It happens. And other times people say, the Lord told me this. I said, no, he didn't. No, he didn't. You're wrong. No, he didn't. I know he didn't, because you're wrong. You're factually wrong. And what you're telling me is contrary to what I know to be the will of God, or contrary to Scripture. So you can say all you want. You can say your prophet this, your prophet that. No, you're wrong. You're wrong. But there are times when words are spoken and God is speaking through it, but it has to be discerned. In other words, there's something of the person's flesh in it, or they're immature. Now, again, I'm not saying you have to accept that view. I'm just explaining why someone might say, I know what happened. I got caught up in a political spirit. I started thinking carnally. I started thinking after the flesh. I wanted Trump to win. Others were saying it. That's why I spoke it. I've learned from that. I'm accountable by it. Any words I get, I send to others to discern before I publish. Okay, I respect that. We don't write the person off. Just so you understand how we think and process things in the Charismatic Church. We'll be right back.
I'm Paul Burnett, a board-certified doctor of holistic health, and I want to take this opportunity to talk to you about the importance of healthy blood flow and how it's enhanced by a miracle molecule known as nitric oxide. You see, blood vessels release nitric oxide, which increases blood flow, known as something called vasodilation. At Trivita, we take blood flow seriously for our members, and we've developed a nitric oxide plus supplement that has been formulated with natural ingredients designed to maximize nitric oxide production in our blood vessels, which increases blood flow. You may be wondering why you don't have as much energy as you used to. One study that I came across revealed that by the age of 40, we only produce about 50% of the nitric oxide production as compared to our 20s. And by the age of 70, the study showed that we're only producing about 15 to 25%. I have good news. As we age, there's another way for our body to increase nitric oxide production, and that's by converting nitrates in vegetables like beetroot into nitric oxide. Bottom line, with more nitric oxide, we stimulate more blood flow to our vital organs and we experience more energy while supporting healthy blood pressure. Trivita's Nitric Oxide Plus has been formulated to increase nitric oxide production and blood flow at every age.
To place your order for products to support your wellness goals, call 1-800-771-5584 or online at trivita.com. As a Trivita introductory offer, use promo code BROWN25 and receive a 25% discount on the products of your choice. Call 1-800-771-5584. 800-771-5584. May you live with greater wellness.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get on The Line of Fire by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Hey, I just want to go back in memory lane a little bit, hearing the ad for our co-sponsor, Trivita, with nitric oxide. So when Michael Ellison and his family, owners of Trivita, contacted me, it's about 14 months ago. It was November of 2022. They're really burdened. I said, Dr. Brown, we really want to get your broadcast all around the country. And we can't just, we don't have enough money to donate to make that happen. But what if we advertise to help make that happen and gave the proceeds to your radio show? I said, man, I was actually in tears. I said, that would be amazing because I'm so burdened to reach more people. I live and burn to reach more people for the Lord. And he said, listen, before we do anything, though, I want you to try the product. He said, I don't want you to sponsor, to have you have us on the air unless you believe it works. So the first thing he sent me was nitric oxide. And I was amazed to start to get results. I mean, I noticed some of my workouts, my time's improving. I noticed I was having more oxygen. Then I did a trip to India, and I was jet lag free. I mean, this is 40 hours of travel each way, 10 and a half hour time differential. So it's only once I've incorporated this in my life, every day, pretty much every day since then, that MyoHealth and one or two other products added in. So I've benefited from it. I hope you will as well. 800-771-5584 to find out more. 800-771-5584 or go to trivita.com and use the promo code BROWN25. So you'll benefit. And then you'll help us reach a whole lot more people. So it's win-win. I hope you'll do that. I hope you find it fruitful, as I have. Okay, so let me get back to the subject of a charismatic Pentecostal prophecy, all right? Let me ask you this. Have you, as a student of the Word, ever misinterpreted a scripture? I have. 52 years in the Lord, I certainly have. Have you ever, as a pastor, a teacher of the Word, or Bible study leader, taught something, and then years later said, you know, I don't think I was right. I think I misunderstood that verse. Or shifted a doctrine. Has that happened? Yeah, okay. Now, we don't write you off as a false teacher, do we? You've gotten up, stood behind the pulpit, opened the Word, and prayed, I'm going to teach Scripture today. But over the years, you realize that you may have misunderstood a particular verse or a particular doctrine within the parameters of orthodoxy, right? I'm not talking about a fundamental heresy. I'm talking about a secondary, tertiary issue. And you changed your views on it. That's happened to me over the decades as well. So we don't brand you a false teacher. We don't excommunicate you. We don't cut you off. But next time you teach on something, we sift it out a little more carefully. Right? And let's dig a little deeper to see if we agree. Okay. Why is it so impossible for someone to misinterpret a word that God speaks to us? Why is it so impossible to misunderstand timing? See, if there were prophetic voices that said, God showed us that Trump is going to be back in the White House. I don't know if it's going to be 2020, 2024. It seems far-fetched. It'll be really old, but I just know he's going to be back in the White House. I see it clearly. Okay, well, you got a couple terms to see if that happens, or as long as he's alive and until he's not breathing, you can see if that happens. We often get timing wrong. In fact, Peter addresses this in 1 Peter, the first chapter, about the Old Testament prophets. It's a fascinating thing. And any of you, even if you don't believe in prophecy so much, but you felt God was showing you something, we often get our timing wrong. I remember the first time I was preaching two messages on a Sunday in two different locations, one on a Sunday morning and one on a Sunday afternoon or evening, or three messages the same day. And I felt I had a message for the morning service burning in me. But then as I got closer to the service, I realized, no, that's the afternoon message or that's the evening message. And just my sense of timing was off. So it says in 1 Peter 1:10, concerning this salvation that we have in Jesus, the prophets who spoke of the grace that was to come to you searched intently and with the greatest care, trying to find out the time and circumstances to which the Spirit of Christ in them was pointing when he predicted the sufferings of the Messiah and the glories that would follow. It was revealed to them that they were not serving themselves, but you, when they spoke of the things that have now been told you by those who have preached the gospel to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven, even angels long to look into these things. In other words, they have these prophetic words, and much of the Old Testament, much of Old Testament prophecy was for those generations. When Amos is warning Israel about coming destruction, Hosea is warning Israel about coming destruction, that was relevant for their day. When Jeremiah is warning Judah and Habakkuk's warning Judah about coming destruction, that was relevant for their day. But then they also had words about the Acharit HaYamim, the end of days, the distant future. And they may have even thought the end of days is kind of around the corner, just like we think the coming of Jesus is around the corner. And it was is much more distant. So they had to earnestly seek to ask God, what is this? I don't mean they prophesied falsely. I don't mean they said this is going to happen tomorrow and it was for 2,000 years. I mean they had words that they would have thought are for now, but it was revealed to them it's not for now, it is for the future. It is for the future. So many times we get our timing off. That happens with good people. You have a sense of now, here, you feel called to a particular thing. Maybe you're 20 years old and you're burning. I know God's calling me to be a missionary to this. I know God's calling me to do this. Well, he is, but it's going to be 15 years before you're there. And you get so obsessed with it now that God just removes the vision entirely. You don't even think about it anymore. You think it's never going to happen. Why? Because you got so focused on the future that you weren't living in the present. But I ask again, if we could misinterpret the perfect, infallible, written word of God, if we could misinterpret that, why is it so impossible for us to misinterpret what the Spirit's saying to us? Why is that impossible? You say, well, then couch things carefully. Okay, I agree with that. In other words, because of the potential of human fallibility in hearing and understanding, then when you get up and give a prophecy, couch it. For example, you might be at the mall and you really feel led to go pray for a particular person, and you feel the Lord showed you they're grieving, they're hurting. They just lost their spouse, and this will reveal God's love to them because they feel God has forsaken them. So you go up to the person, and you don't say, the Lord told me that you just lost your spouse. And what about saying, hey, would it be okay if I prayed? I know I'm a stranger, but I felt God laid you on my heart. Can I pray for you for a moment? Are you going through a hard time? Yeah, I am. Did you recently lose someone close to you? Yeah, I did. Did you lose your spouse? Yes, how'd you know that? Well, I felt the Lord showed me that you recently lost your spouse and were wondering if God was even there, and he sent me to tell you he's still there. That could change someone's life. That could be a word that brings him salvation. But it's also wise, especially if you're growing in your experience, to come at it in this way. So a little humility goes a long way. And if there's something you will stake your life on, you will stake your reputation on, you will stake your future on, you will stake your salvation on, you are that absolutely sure you'll die on that hill, well, then go ahead and say it like that. Look, I've had to make faith decisions based on what I was confident God was speaking something to me. And I had to make a faith decision that affected our whole family. But I knew it was God. And I stepped out, and sure enough, it was God. And many of you have done the same thing. And other times you say, okay, Lord, I need to know with more certainty. I need to know with more clarity. And he leads us and guides us. Now, for those of you who think God does not speak to us outside of the Bible, or as my colleague, we have our deep differences, Justin Peters, will say, if you want to hear the voice of God, read the Bible. If you want to hear the audible voice of God, read the Bible out loud. One of his better-known sayings. Many of you agree with that. I say, based on the Bible, it's clear the Holy Spirit continues to speak to us based on the Bible. Doesn't add new doctrine, doesn't add new revelation of who God is, doesn't add anything to Scripture. Scripture is finished, complete, perfect, end of subject. Only one Bible, only one, the Word of God. End of subject. But God continues to speak in many ways because the Bible says he does. In John 10, Jesus says, "My sheep hear my voice." That is present continuous, not just in salvation, but present continuous. And as many as are led by the Spirit, Romans 8, they are the sons of God. And being led by the Spirit is not only being led to say no to sin and yes to God, it is also being directed in his will. And 2 Corinthians 13, 14 speaks of the fellowship that we have with the Holy Spirit. There's a communion. There's a participation in the Spirit. And he does lead. He does guide. And we saw earlier, Acts, the second chapter, where Peter quotes from Joel 2, the Hebrew just says, "Va'achrei chen espochet ruchi," and after this, I'll pour out my Spirit. Peter adds the words, "In the last days, God says, I'll pour out my Spirit." So Peter says, this is for the last days. And the outpouring is sons and daughters prophesying. The outpouring is old men dreaming dreams and young men seeing visions. So this is something that continues. But because it continues, we need discernment. We need wisdom. We need accountability. We need humility. So my brothers and sisters, those who are wrong, those who blew it, humble yourselves. It's not too late. Say why it's been so hard for you to acknowledge you were wrong. If the deception has been deeper, you may need to step out of ministry. And if the deception has been that deep, you do need to step out of ministry. And find out what you did wrong, why you did it wrong, and perhaps can be rebuilt into a better ministry in the future. Friends, let's humble ourselves. Let's not repeat the errors of 2020. Let's not repeat them in 2024. Remember, sign up for my frontline newsletter. If you're not getting it, you want to get it. TheLineOfFire.org. Back with you tomorrow.
Another program powered by the Truth Network.